Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville, Jason Bishop, Eric Bickle. That is the foursome. Later this hour, Lars Eller is going to join us from the Washington Capitals. Scheduled to join us. We'll still try to track down the GM, Brian McClellan. But join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, the lead analyst for Pro Football Focus. He's an Indy for the NFL Combine. It is Mike Renner. Good morning, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
We all measured our hands in here. That's a big hand measuring
we did,
day.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyone over 10?
Yeah, I got in at 10 and a half. Very proud of that.
Ooh,
very proud of
you.
We had one guy at 7 and a half.
I haven't measured mine.
He has no NFL future.
And no future.
No future at all.
Cakes was at 8 and a half. What's the smallest hands for the most successful quarterback?
I think Jared Goff at 9. I don't think I've ever seen one below 9 for a guy who really has been a successful quarterback. But, I mean, the big thing is if you weren't fumbling in college and if you weren't, like, having issues with it, I don't really think you're going to have too many issues in the NFL. Now, the ball is a little bigger in the NFL. Like it is just a tad bigger. So, yes, that could present some problems. But, I mean, he had no ball security issues, no edge issues. I'm not really buying into it being a problem for him.
Right. Well, Mike, what I was saying is if you were to look at a ruler and you just looked at how small a quarter of an inch is,
how could
it
that
is
be
so
different?
Small.
Yeah.
Like Patrick Mahomes, I guess, is a quarter of an inch more than Joe Burrow. If he just practiced spreading his hand, he probably gets a quarter of an inch.
Yeah, there was actually – so we talked to – when Brandon Allen was coming out, Arkansas quarterback, he had a massage therapist work on his hands every single day so that he could get in over 9 inches.
That's
not even
incredible.
A joke. That actually happened. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Don't guys do stuff like that for the height too?
Probably.
I haven't heard any stories about that, but I would not be surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had heard stuff about Kyler Murray.
Kyler
Murray's hands were about 9 and a half, correct? Didn't he come in at 9 and a half,
yeah.
Mike?
Yeah, he had big enough hands for sure. I don't remember that being an issue, but I do think like the hairstyle that he was rocking was giving him some inches. Like you can't push that all the way down. It was gonna at least give him like a quarter of an inch there.
Right. So we've been talking about Joe Burrow and you know, we were hearing some rumors that he is not interested in playing for the Bengals. Okay. Now, he hadn't come out and said, there's no way I'm going to play, but, you know, there's some rumors, and who knows? Maybe he doesn't want to play there. He is from Ohio, but maybe he doesn't want to play for the Bengals because of their ownership and they've just been a perennial loser. But how much power does he have to force the Bengals out of that one spot or to not draft Joe Burrow? Can you see that happening?
I don't foresee, I mean, even if you're the Bengals, I don't foresee them. You know, the worst it could be is the Eli Manning situation where you draft him and then he's saying, you know, I'm not going to come play. Like, even if he says he's not going to come play, I think you still draft him as the Bengals and then work from there. But he has all the leverage. If you're the Bengals and you draft him, he says he's not going to come play, you really can't risk just calling the bluff or, you know, waiting a whole season and then going back and getting someone else in 2021. You have to basically deal that guy. So he does have all the leverage. If you're the quarterback, best quarterback in the draft, unquestionably, like he is, You couldn't basically pick, not necessarily pick your spot, but you can definitely force your way out of Cincinnati if you wanted to.
Wow.
But see, when you say he has all the leverage, I look at it as, is he really willing to sit out a year and get back in the draft?
I mean, how many guys have actually done that?
Yeah, I mean, it's not, but that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's going to actually, if you're the Bengals, you can't do that. Like, you have to get that value back from basically the pick that you had at the top of the draft. Like, you just have to deal it. I don't think they would call the bluff and make him sit out a year. That would be, you would just get such a bad reputation as a franchise.
So you actually think that there's a chance, you actually think there's a chance that move could happen then?
No, I don't actually think Burrow, all those reports, I don't believe at all. I'll be honest. I think he's very much willing and going to play for the Bengals next year.
You think he's just playing coy and is seeing, you know, maybe he can kind of scare him into something, but push come to shove, he'll definitely play there.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. Like, the reports have been nothing from Burrow saying it. It's all been people speculating on behalf of Burrow or people around Burrow. There's been nothing from Joe himself actually stating that he wants out.
What about the idea? So the Skins, obviously, we're here in D.C. We're very curious as what they're going to do with that second pick. A lot of people are for Chase Young. A lot of people have him as the most talented player in the draft. Quarterback, a more important position, though, hence Burrow potentially going one. What do you see other teams moving up to two, maybe to grab a Tua or maybe even to grab Chase? Is there any chance they could trade out of that and accumulate some picks, or is that just a fantasy at this point?
I could see it, but I don't. I think just the way the Redskins are, and in terms of, you know, how they drafted in the past and where basically, you know, how good Chase Young is, I don't think it's going to happen. I think if you pass on Chase Young, just like the optically, your fan base is going to have a hard time processing that. If you go see him be, you know, a Hall of Famer for, you know, some other franchise, you're going to live that. Not going to be able to live that down the rest of your career as a GM or executive. So I do think that while there will be trades at certainly number three, like teams are going to want to come up to get to or to give Herbert, one of these guys at the top of the draft, I don't think it's going to be at number two.
All right. So what about Tua? Kind of the unknown here is Tua, how he's going to look when he finally gets 100% healthy. What are you hearing on him now? Are you hearing good things, positive things? We heard that he was going to recover from the surgery 100%, but I guess you never know. I mean, he's 4 inches smaller than Burrow. You know, he's 5 or 6 inches smaller than Herbert. He's 6 inches smaller than Love. Now, I think he's better than some of those guys, but what are you hearing on Tua Tag?
Yeah, so the injury is kind of the obvious elephant in the room that you just don't know at this point where it's going to end up. And even if it does, best case scenario, still may have complications, you know, into the summer, well down the line, but there's a very good chance, you know, he does come back from it, at least in the short term. So I think that's obviously, like I said, the elephant in the room. But as a prospect, to me, he's very close to Joe Burrow, just because Joe Burrow, the light switch sort of flipped on for him when he was 23 in his redshirt senior season. He was not playing, you know, necessarily great football before that. Tua Tagovailoa came in, you know, second half of the national championship game as a freshman and played excellent football. And then as a sophomore, played excellent football. We've never seen him play anything other than that. And yes, he may not have a big arm, may not have some of the best physical tools, the height, that sort of thing. But all he's done is play quarterback position at the highest level in college football. So I do think that as a prospect, he's every bit a franchise quarterback type of prospect, you know, arguably up there with some of the best quarterback prospects over the last 5 years. So if there's all the health concerns, check out, that hip injury never happens, Chiefs should be falling all over themselves to trade up to get this guy.
Do you think Miami has their eyes squarely set on Tua?
I do. I think they should. And they, you know, if anyone can make the move, they have more draft capital to do it. So I do think that if I had to pick a team right now, it would be Miami that he goes to.
Joined by Mike Renner. He's the lead analyst for Pro Football Focus. He's an Indy for the NFL Combine. So I think a phrase which is overused is generational talent. And that's what you hear about Chase Young. Seems like Jadeveon Clowney was probably a generational talent, and Myles Garrett, generational talent. How does he compare at this point to those guys who were drafted number one?
I think he's the actual generational talent of the bunch. I think he's the best one. Yeah, and it's because there's really not much he can't do about the position. I think with Myles Garrett, you saw him at times in college just get shut down. He didn't have a ton of pass rushing moves. I think Chase Young the difference between him and Garrett is he has a lot more moves at this point in his skill set. I mean, similar athletically, both are just off the charts athletically. I think with Jadeveon Clowney, he was far more unpolished and also a little bit stiffer than the other guys. Couldn't really bend the edge. These two guys, Myles Garrett and Chase Young, there's not really anything they can't do about the position. So, but like I said, I think Chase Young just more polished coming out.
So you grade him better than those
blind
two?
Coach. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yes, I would. I think he is. I think like surefire. I'm not going to put him in the Hall of Fame yet, but I think he's very close to perennial Pro Bowler from day one.
What's the deepest position or two in this draft?
I think wide receiver. I mean, all the hype you've heard about it is all true. Like, it is the most dominant, and I think we'll see it this week. And the reason why it's such a ridiculous class is the top guys are all freak athletes. Like, there's going to be four or five guys who are running in the 4.3s here who put up, 1,000 yards last year in college. There are going to be top prospects who are also top physical athletes in this class. And so receiver's super deep. I think cornerback's really deep as well. So those two positions.
How many receivers do you think could go in the first round?
It's tough because I thought last year was like an all right, like fairly good receiving class, and we only ended up seeing two go in the first round. But then obviously guys like A.J. Brown, DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin were productive as rookies. So I think teams are almost going to learn from last year's mistakes in terms of passing on guys to wait and be like, we need a wide receiver. Let me go get one. So I think I could see six guys going round one this year, very similar to that, 2014 class that had a bunch of talent.
How many of the top guys at receiver, like the CeeDee Lambs of the world, Judy, Higgins, are all those guys at the combine?
Yeah, I think they're all going to test, too. I don't think there's anyone who's pulled out from this receiving core class yet. So it's going to be fun to watch. I mean, some of these guys, some of the numbers are going to get put up. I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah.
Joined by Mike Renner, lead analyst for Pro Football Focus in Indianapolis for the NFL Combine. Which quarterback is going to be overdrafted by a round or two? If you had to pick a name or two, it's going to go way too early.
I think it's Jordan Love out of Utah State. Like, there's talent. Like, and he has quarterback talent. He makes special throws down the football field. But the quarterback position is much more than just having an arm. And there's a lot of things about the position that he does not do exceptionally well. And with how he played this last year, situation, yes, it is important. But if you can't rise above your situation at the college level, what are the odds you're going to do at the NFL level? So he really would scare me if I'm drafting, if I'm like the Colts and I'm taking him in the first round of 13. I just don't foresee him as being NFL ready. And I think he does go first round because of the arm, but man, I don't think he really is that necessarily a first round prospect at this point.
Yeah, he had a bad year this year too compared to last year.
Let me ask you this.
So you think the Love goes first round? So you think four quarterbacks are going in the first round?
I think at least four.
Yeah.
I think you'll see at least four go in the first round because Herbert's. I think, and you'll see three at least go in the top 10 with Herbert, Tua, obviously pending injury, and then Burrow. So at least four, maybe Jacob Eason sneaks in the back of round one, maybe Jake Fromm sneaks in the back of round one. But, yeah, I think at least four.
I think, just getting back to the defensive positions, I think Isaiah Simmons from Clemson is going to be a stud in the NFL. He is just so versatile, really good athlete, well-coached, apparently a great kid. I think he's going to be an absolute. Whoever gets him is going to get a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, I don't see, how he couldn't be is one of those things. Like, maybe he doesn't play the run well, but, that's not what you care about anymore at the linebacker position. You want a guy who's able to affect the passing game. And he's a linebacker who played free safety at times and was a good free safety. He could do that at the college level. Imagine what he's going to be able to do if he just, is patrolling the middle of the field in the NFL. So, yeah, I agree with you there. Isaiah Simmons really is, for pretty much across the board, checks every box.
Mike, have you been, did you follow the NFL closely? Were you just strictly locked in on the draft? Because I wonder how you would grade Haskins' development this year.
No, I follow rookies. So I basically, what I do is the draft, and then I'll go rookies and then into year two on guys and still follow them in terms of what they are. And Haskins, it was rough. I mean, it was not in terms of being able to efficiently get through his reads was the scariest thing. I think towards the end of the year, I was a little better than right at the beginning. Right at the beginning, you could tell he was just frozen in terms of the game speed. It was just too much for him. And I think he sped up in that regard, but you still saw he just took – yes, he had a bad offensive line, but he took way too many sacks. There are still some issues But year one is almost like a throw-out year for a lot of guys. Like, yeah, at the quarterback position especially, it's just such a big transition, especially when you're a guy like Haskins who has 1 year of playing college football, really. 1 year of actually, like, seeing defenses.
Right.
I think you're really not going to be able to glean too much into that. So, yeah.
So, do you know – so, I mean, would you – there's enough there that we saw to stick with it, right?
Yeah, I'd stick with it. And we kind of here at PFF have been saying, you know, if you don't have a quarterback, draft another one. And like, if Tua didn't have the hip injury, I'd be all for going for Tua just because he is, you know, it's sort of like the, you know, the Cardinals last year. I don't think they have any remorse about going back to the well at quarterback back-to-back years and getting Kyler Murray. Because if you can improve at that position, it's so much more valuable than any other position you could feasibly draft. So I do think Tua is a better prospect coming out, but at the hip injury, I'm not sure with that risk involved, I'd be willing to, you know, go back to the well at the position.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Great stuff.
For sure, fellas. Thanks for having me on. Have a good one.
It's Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus.
Out in Indy.
I wanted to ask him about Quentin Dunbar, but if he's only following guys their first year or two, he probably wouldn't be the best one to ask.
He's talking about the receivers and how they're going to wow. I think his last name is Suggs. Maybe it's Scruggs from Alabama.
Ruggs.
They believe he's going to run a 4.2.
Well, he's fast.
John Ross's record.
He's absurdly fast. I mean, he's tiny, but he's unbelievably
fast. Has anybody ever run like a 4.19? Has that ever happened?
John Ross has the record at 4.22.
4.22. That was the Cincinnati receiver?
Yep. Yeah.
Is that right?
He started showing some signs of life.
Did he do something last year? The first year did nothing, right?
First year didn't do anything.
Yeah. He had a hamstring injury that slowed him down his rookie
campaign. Is he super little? He's got to be,
right? He's
probably
like 5'10", 5'11", I would guess.
Right.
5'11", yeah.
Right.
A.J. Green, by the way, free agent.
Lamb and Judy are...
Not interested.
Yeah.
Old and banged up.
Lamb and Judy are going to run... They're going to run incredible numbers, too,
yeah,
if they're running.
I'm just watching some of the routes Judy runs. I mean, they're sick.
He's unbelievable. He's got great hands.
Where do they say he's going to go?
Well, I would say top 15.
Seven, top 10?
I would say at least top 15, if not top 10.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? It kind of depends on how they work out. Maybe Lamb goes ahead of him.
If we could find a way to accumulate just one more pick, it'd be so silly. Who picks three? Detroit?
Yes.
Any way we can goose them into giving us a pick?
Possibly.
Say,
if they have a chubby to get up to two.
Threaten that we're going to take something that they want.
Well, it depends on who.
That we're going to trade
it
out?
It depends on who they really want. Do they really want a quarterback? Do they want Tua?
They can't imagine that.
You know, do they want to go our defense? Do they want to go Tua? Do they think that Miami's going to trade up inside of them to get Tua? I don't know.
If you're Matt Patricia, though. And the owner has basically said, you have to win this year.
Right.
You're not going to go with a rookie quarterback.
On. You don't want that quarterback.
No, you're keeping Matt Stafford.
Spot. Yeah.
You're going to hope Matt Stafford stays healthy. Because when he was healthy last year, they were actually decent. And then he went to the sideline. And, you know, they're trotting out, I can't remember the quarterback's name, like their third string quarterback. And he was terrible.
Then they have Driscoll.
I think Driscoll
was there. And
Driscoll played in the Skins game.
I remember that the guy they were trotting out was especially bad.
Yeah,
especially
when
compared to Matt Stafford.
Well, look, when you get down to the second and third string. Look, you guys are higher on Matt Stafford than me.
Hmm.
I'm just not a Matt Stafford guy. He can have a really good year, and they go 7-9. Always seems that's the case.
That's true.
And he's never won a playoff game.
But if you're Patricia and you need to win, you're not going to put it in the hands of a rookie quarterback. David Blau. That's who I was thinking of.
Yeah, I don't even remember him.
Purdue.
Yeah.
Poo-poo.
Yeah.
Drabby, did you any word from the Caps and McClellan? Where are we on that?
There was some sort of
mix-up.
No. He couldn't get through. He said,
"Oh, really?
I don't know what was going on." So we're going to try to get him for later in the show.
Okay,
all right. We do have Lars Eller. He's scheduled to join us at 8:45. So we'll get into the Caps again at 8:45. But next, we'll open up the entertainment page, switch gears, touch on Hollywood, the music scene, get a little celebrity scoop from EB right here on the Junkies.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Lars Eller going to join us in just about 15 minutes, around 8:45. So you want to keep listening for that.
He's actually having a good year.
He is having a very good year.
A lot of times it's the curse of the junkies. The guys get traded the next year.
That's
it's the
right.
Last year when they come on with us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's mm-hmm. having a good mm-hmm. year.
He is.
Well, hopefully he scores 3 goals tonight. Well, maybe 4.
4?
Yeah.
He's going to have 4 goals.
I said, hopefully.
I would like for that to happen.
I would just like them to pwn Winnipeg.
That would be an over if he scores 4 goals.
That would be an over.
I would guess.
Yeah.
All right, let's open up the entertainment page. Get the latest celebrity gossip and more from Mr. Bickle.
You know, it is funny. During the break, these guys were arguing about strawberry milk, the merits of strawberry milk.
Yeah.
And
also about my inability to find strawberry milk yesterday in my neighborhood. Apparently, it was a big deal to drab.
So you're now sabotaging your own.
No, this is entertaining to me. So apparently, Valdez has never had strawberry milk.
Oh, it's tasty.
Strawberry milk is amazing.
Yeah,
this is Matt Valdez.
Strawberry milk is
good.
Yeah, I mean,
it tastes so good.
I haven't had it in 20 years, but I was having it on the regular in college. I would just get strawberry milk. Just
by
get
the way,
fat.
That's 30 years in college.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's too
yeah,
bad. So, it's huh? Too bad you can't find it anywhere.
Why? It's at every 7-Eleven in the country.
Thank you.
Yeah,
takes us in a donk.
But
I question his intelligence.
I was no. Listen,
I haven't looked for
can
it.
Can I explain my
Why
thought process?
It?
It's just right
He's
next to chocolate.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me explain. I had to go out to the store to buy, I don't know, a handful of items.
Yeah.
My youngest son says, "Hey, Dad, while you're at the store, can you grab me some strawberry milk?" I said, "Sure, not a problem." First store I went to. No strawberry milk to be found. So then I went to Safeway, and I found the closest thing I could. I found the syrup to pour into regular milk to make strawberry milk.
Ooh.
So now Drab T-shirt is raking me over the coals because I didn't think to go to 7-Eleven, of all places, to find strawberry Nesquik milk.
Strawberry milk is just so good. I wonder, do they make strawberry almond milk? Because I would
know.
Do that because I'm an almond
do.
Milk guy.
Don't
they
know.
Do.
Huh?
They do.
Oh, I should get that.
I don't know. I don't see that all over the place.
I haven't seen that yet.
I mean,
I do like almond milk.
Almond milk, where I get the light vanilla. I have a little hint of vanilla flavor in there. It is so good, Cakes.
It also bothers me that Cakes doesn't use the Google on his phone. I mean, you could say strawberry milk near me into your phone, and you're going to get 100 results of all the targets and everything.
He probably never does that.
There's not a Target near me.
Okay, no, I'm saying
second of all,
any store.
I'm just assuming that a grocery store is going to have strawberry milk before a convenience store.
Well, did you ask? They might.
It's larger. It's bigger.
They might.
Has more items.
I find it hard to believe that they actually didn't have it.
Dude, I went to the milk aisle. None. I went to the powder aisle. They had chocolate mix in for chocolate milk, not strawberry.
Did he complain?
Had to go to a second location.
Did Brendan complain?
No, he was fine. He said, "Thank you, Dad. Appreciate it." Hmm. Poured it into the regular milk, stirred it up, made strawberry milk.
Right.
Drab's trying to make it. Drab's making this the second biggest story in the country behind coronavirus.
Right.
I don't know why.
Well, it bothers him.
But it does bother him
for some
reason.
It's amazing what bothers those guys.
Well, I can't imagine that Valdez has never had it.
He's never had strawberry milk. This guy is drinks Matt milk Valdez. All the time.
He would love it.
I'm a milk aficionado.
Apparently
yeah,
not.
You're a purist, apparently. You're a milk purist.
Yeah.
You don't like to mess it up with flavors.
All right, guys. We have to talk about The Bachelor. I know we have a couple guys here that watch. I don't, but I'm always intrigued by the fantasy suites. None of you guys reminded me, so of course I didn't watch. But apparently there's a lot of blowback.
Trav's mad that you didn't put it in your phone to remind you to watch The Bachelor.
Well, he should have texted me. Apparently there is a lot of blowback, though. Many people now believe that Peter does not deserve Madison after watching him get after it with the other two girls in the fantasy suite.
Here's the bottom line. I'm not watching every single second, but Peter the pilot is very horny.
Right.
And there's no chance that even if it ruins his chances with Madison the virgin, that he's going to keep it in his pants when he has an opportunity to go in the fantasy suite with Hannah Ann and Victoria.
He
F.
knew going
he
in
that he can't keep it in his pants.
Is Madison the one girl?
She's the hottest one
out of
the
all
three.
Of them that's kind of like the can't miss. Like that's the target. Madison's the one he should go with.
He seems to have the best conversation with her, and then she is also the hottest.
She's the hottest.
Yeah.
She's got to test the goods. He needs to test the goods.
Oh, he tested the goods. The other ones, he's not as interested
in. This might be his life partner.
He's big about testing out the goods.
Right.
That's what he does.
Right.
There's no chance he's just going to say to her, oh, you don't want me to sleep with these two women who want to sleep with me because it's going to ruin my chances with you? And he's like, no chance.
Cakes, do you walk by free samples?
I generally will try a free sample.
Right.
I'm going to try it.
He's got a
if
sample.
It's there and available. And
did you think he was like a male slut? Or did you think he was just like every other contestant
he's like
on the show?
He's like every other horny dude that's on the show.
Yeah.
Plus, the other two women, you think they're stupid? They're going to use sex as a weapon against
They're giving
Madison.
It out like candy,
they're
right?
Completely. Yeah. Of course
they
they're going
to
do that.
They can't wait to get in that fantasy suite.
If they can do that and ace her out of the mix...
Now,
of course they're going to use that.
Do the other girls like him for him, or they just want to be famous?
That's debatable.
Yeah.
The girl Hannah seems like she wants to be famous, and Victoria, she just seems like she's dumber than a box of rocks.
Really?
Yes.
Now, do they know that Madison was the leader in the clubhouse going into the fantasy suites?
Actually, they do. He was the first one-on-one. She was the first one-on-one date that he had.
And so that was a big tell.
That was a huge tell.
Who had
took her to meet the family on day one.
Who was the first fantasy suite?
That was Hannah.
Hannah Ann.
Yeah.
Correct.
And he just got sized.
He got sized.
Definitely taxed it.
100%.
Think about
100%. He was glowing the next day.
I don't know, Bob. Well, he pummeled it.
Well, think about it. You have all of these beautiful women throwing themselves at you for weeks on end. And finally, you get to bed, the hot chicks that you're selecting. Of course he's going to take it.
All right.
The best part about it is all the girls are staying in one room together, too.
Yeah. Wow.
So they're coming back after getting railed out.
Yeah. Right. All right. So hold on. All right. So the first date was with Hannah, right?
Yeah. Correct.
He smoked that. Then how many days later is the next fantasy suite?
Next day.
The next day?
He's going
double headers. He's going back to back.
He's young. He's fine.
He's going back to back.
If he can bang
it's
in
not
a windmill.
Back to back the same night. He's got 24 hours.
If he can bang it in a windmill four times, I don't think he has a problem.
But still, from the girl's perspective, he literally the last night was with another dude.
I think his refractory period is 15 seconds long.
Silly biology pool.
Thank you.
All right. So, who was the second date with?
Victoria F.
All right, that's the other one
that's the one from
she's
Virginia.
Dumb.
That's the home wrecker from Virginia Beach.
She's a little bit of a wacky.
Right.
Yeah.
But she's
there's
hot.
No way he picks her. Impossible.
She's hot.
That happens.
She's sexual dynamite to Peter.
Peter. All right, Peter.
He's going to pick one of those two because I think producers play a big part in who they select. And the producers play a big part in who's going to be the next bachelor and the next bachelorette. And just I haven't watched 1 second of this, but just listening to you. The girl that's the virgin or the supposed virgin who you say is the
Madison,
hottest,
yeah.
That's the next bachelorette.
For sure.
They're going to pick her as the next bachelorette.
Oh,
so they're going to say, you can't pick her because that'll be the story that people want to see.
I bet you 10 bucks she won't be the next bachelorette.
Okay, I can't do that because I haven't watched
exactly.
The second.
All right, who are the
just my blind vibe.
Madison and Hannah Ann, and then who's the other
Victoria
one?
Victoria F.
All right, Victoria. Let me look her up.
Peter's been wanting
Victoria
to...
Victoria F., which one is she, the blonde or the brunette?
Brunette.
Brunette.
Now, when does he admit to Hannah that he... Or
the blonde
to,
is mom.
Which is the one he wants? Madison. When does he admit to Madison that he hit skins with the others?
He admitted it last night. Yeah, he said Madison, before
the fantasy suite date.
Yeah, they never went to the fantasy suite.
Because she said, I'm not doing it with you.
They're having dinner, and then Madison revealed that she's saving herself for marriage. And then Peter said, well, I'm got to be honest. I've been intimate.
Right.
Not going to give you the details, but I've been intimate. Right. Then all of a sudden, they all start crying, and then they cut
she
away.
She started crying?
Yeah, then he ran after her.
Then
and
he's
he started
crying. Oh, it's a whole scene.
He was crying?
Yes. He got caught, swept up in the emotions.
There's a girl named Eunice.
I don't remember Eunice.
Casualty of Bachelor.
She's out based on her name.
She's done.
All right, so what's next? Now, they've done the fantasy suites.
Hometown dates, right?
No, that's already happened. No. They've already done that.
Get your chronology right, JP.
Peter didn't even meet Victoria's parents because he got confronted by the friend of Victoria who called her a homewrecker.
Okay.
And so there's a whole blow up. He never even met the parents.
Right.
Picked her for the fantasy suite.
So now what does he do? Does he give out one more final rose?
So I think next episode they're starting with a rose ceremony. Then they're cutting away to like all of the girls that were selected beforehand having a round table. Then the finale is the week after.
Valdez has lapped me in Bachelor knowledge.
I guess you
weren't able to tell.
Valdez is I used to watch
this is Matt
Valdez.
He loves it.
About the dollars.
I do.
I think he's the leader in TV viewing.
I do. I get psyched.
Right now amongst the junkies.
Oh, I don't know. I think
and our producers.
I think you probably give him a run for his money.
I don't watch a lot as much as I used to. I mean, yesterday maybe an hour and a half.
You mean TV in general or just
total TV time? Maybe 2 hours.
I mean, it's on all day at my house.
I mean, I was out all day.
I watched 3 different shows on DVR.
You might be.
That was before
the
sports started.
I'm telling you, I basically didn't do much at the gym.
Yeah,
I was there twice yesterday, 2 separate trips. Shot some hoops with my son at night. Went earlier in the day. Part of that is because they have kind of a free daycare.
Oh, that's nice.
A good hookup.
That is a good hookup.
Any other bachelor questions, Eric?
Yeah.
No, that's it.
Defer to the expert.
Are you covered?
Yeah, I'm covered for now.
Okay.
I want to give you an update on the Harvey Weinstein deal. So he was found guilty, I believe, of 2 counts, 2 of the 5. They found him guilty of a criminal sex act in the first degree of forcing and also convicted him of rape in the third degree. They immediately, I guess, hauled him off to jail. He's supposed to go to Rikers Island. Can you imagine?
Good. Send him down.
Well, he immediately, conveniently had chest pains. So he's in the hospital ward.
Right. So apparently, like, as they're reading the verdict, he screams out, I'm innocent.
Mm-hmm.
They cuff him and they take him to Rikers. And on the way, he complains he's having chest pains. So they take him to the hospital and they're trying to figure out what's going on there. And then as soon as they figure that out, they are going to ship him to Rikers Island.
Good.
Yeah.
That's where he deserves
to go. He's facing, I think maybe potentially he could get 25 years.
Well, isn't he still facing
other charges?
Charges in L.A.?
I think so.
Yeah.
So I think so.
So he could get more jail time if he's convicted in L.A.
Yeah.
He's going to die in jail.
He's going to die in jail. Now, he has apparently Bill Cosby on his side, of all people.
Oh, good ally to have.
Fellow jailbird Bill Cosby shared a statement through his spokesman saying, this is a very sad day in the American judicial system, arguing that Weinstein was never going to have a fair trial because he's wealthy and famous. And then he started trashing the Me Too movement. So at least Weinstein's got Bill Cosby in his corner, Cakes. We talked about the coronavirus. I think it's a real deal now. I think it's spreading all over Europe. They had to halt the Mission Impossible 7 filming in Venice.
30 up to the 7th Mission Impossible. I like them all.
Yeah. Oh, because they print money. Why would you stop a franchise that prints hundreds of millions into the billions of dollars?
Now, I don't have the list in front of me. I believe it debuts today. But Netflix is now revealing, you know, they've been very coy about what people watch and what's the most watched. But they're now revealing they're having a top 10 movie and top 10 TV show list. So when you go through and instead of just seeing comedies or sports or whatever, you're going to see top 10 shows right now that people are watching. Top 10 movies that people are downloading.
Someone's telling me to watch Safe. Safe. I don't know what Safe is. Someone's telling me to watch Safe, and of course, I am a killer, Cakes.
I think I saw Safe a few years ago on.
Oh, you
I think
did?
It's on Netflix. Let me look it up.
One is I Am a Killer? What is that one?
It's what I talked about yesterday. It's the documentary.
Safe is good
is
on
it?
Netflix. You should watch that.
How many seasons have I missed? One season?
I think it's only one season.
All right. So Safe's on my list. I Have a Killer's on my list. I've heard The Sinner is good. Also on my list. There's too much to watch.
Did you sleep on Bodyguard?
No, definitely watched Bodyguard.
Bodyguard was good.
I watched Bodyguard.
Waiting for season two to come out.
Yeah. I watched Bodyguard.
You slept on The Night Manager, though.
Slept on The Night Manager and The Night Of. Anything with night in the title, I'm apparently out.
Except for The Dark Knight.
Dark Knight I've seen, yes.
And last but not least, Katy Perry is in the news. Remember, we talked about there was a gas leak on the set of American Idol.
Hot. Here comes Valdez now.
And Katy Perry collapsed. She's thanking first responders. Big shout out to all the first responders around the country. Thanks for risking your lives every day and all night long. I guess it was a real deal there where she was complaining of a headache or whatever, and she passed out. I guess. Yeah. But there you go.
She looks so hot.
What kind of ratings is American Idol net now?
Oh, I think they're pretty low.
Yeah, but the salaries for the Katy Perry and Lionel Richie, you wouldn't believe how much money they're making.
I think Katy Perry's making, is she making 15 million?
I think it's like 15 or 20.
Yeah.
And who else is a judge there?
Luke Bryan.
Some country donk.
Yeah.
That's how I was going to describe him.
Luke Bryan's silly. But he's more just like a regular guy. He doesn't seem to be too affected by it all, you know. These country guys seem to be pretty down to earth for the most part.
Lars Eller is also down to
earth. He is, very much
likes
so.
Likes to wear his jorts.
Yes.
We'll talk to him about the Caps trades, his new teammates, the playoff push, and more. Lars Eller, center ice, comes up next here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Center Ice with Lars Eller, driven by AAA. It is Lars Eller. Go to AAA.com and hit the road with confidence. Good morning, Lars.
Good morning, guys.
Thank you for winning on Sunday against the Pens. Cakes was there.
It was huge.
Had it not happened, we would be in full-blown panic mode.
Just you guys then, but no, for sure, it always feels good to beat the Penguins. There's a few feelings there's better than that. So, and we really needed that for the team, I think, considering how we've been getting the last couple of weeks. Sunday's game was huge for us, big
big morale booster. And, always these division games are whoever team we play in our division right now, I think those games are crucial.
Lars, I think Caps fans are ready to put Brendan Dillon's number up in the rafters after punching Evgeny Malkin in the face like 8 times right next to the glass. That was fun to watch. That game was chippy throughout, and that was kind of the crescendo of the back and forth between the Pens and the Caps. Good to see Dillon scrapping with Malkin.
Yeah, he's a guy that can play with the match and not afraid of getting gritty. Can stand up to anyone. And I think these games are always, you know, there's high emotions on both benches. A lot of feelings, you know, big rivalry, just how it's supposed to be.
I mean, is that something that guys pull him aside before the game and talk with him about, or he knows it coming in from San Jose, even though he's been out in California for many years, he knows the intensity of this rivalry.
I think he knows. At the same time, I also think he wants to show everybody what he's got. And, early on, he just came here. He wants to make his mark, probably. And so he's not going to back down from any altercations. And I think that was great for our team, what he did there, and great for himself, too.
So he's one of two new teammates that were added via the trade deadline. Do you like the guys?
Yeah, Alon, Brendan, I think he'll fit in really nicely here. I think he already is a super, super good down-to-earth guy that's been in the league in a long time. He's got great playoff experience and seems to be a very good person, too. So I think we're lucky to have him.
By the way, pretty soon you and the rest of the teammates are all going to need to know Russian because the Caps are stockpiling Russian players. Ilya Kovalchuk is the latest, 36 years old, coming in from Montreal. What's your background, if any, with him? And talk about what he's going to bring to the Caps.
No, yeah, the guys, that guy has legendary status. I remember watching highlights of the guy when I was a kid. Guys was, a superstar when I came into the league. He was, right up there, the biggest names in the league. So it's pretty cool for me to be able to, play on the same team as him. I think the last, the game we played in Montreal here a couple of weeks ago, he looked very energetic. He looked like he was on. He was still doing things. He was, creating scoring chances. He was setting guys up. He was very engaged. If we can get that kind of Kobe here in the next couple of weeks and down the road, he'll make our team better.
Lars, after the Devils game on Saturday.
And that was after they blew Thursday, which you dubbed a bounce back Thursday.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a bounce back Thursday against Montreal. All right, we didn't get it done. But then you could play the Devils on the road. Devils are struggling this year, selling off some parts. I just noticed in Sunday's game, I talked about this on Monday. I don't want to say desperation, but there was just an extra boost of energy from you guys just watching you skate. It was evident that you guys truly wanted that game. How did you guys feel after the Devils game headed into the Pens game?
Yeah, I did not feel good after the Devils game. I don't think anybody did, especially considering how we played in the last couple of weeks leading up to and the last home game against Montreal. I could not recognize our team the way we played in those two games. And then on Sunday, we played the Penguins at home, and we're like, I think it was, that's the team I recognize. That's the Caps team, the way we can play. Facing some adversity in the game, we're down, we come back, we tie game up, we score a couple in the third. We get better and better throughout the game. That's our team. That's who we are. And it's hard to play like that every single game, but I think showed everybody including ourselves, that we still have that capacity within our room. We showed down Sunday. It's just sometimes we haven't brought it out in a while, but I thought we brought it there, and we definitely still got it.
Center ice with Lars Eller, driven by AAA. Go to AAA.com and hit the road with confidence. So in that Jersey game, Ovi hits the milestone. He gets goal number 700. Talk about what a relief that's been for him to finally get to that number. And a classy move, too, by the Devils. They're sending Ovi the net that he scored the 700th goal on. I thought that was a nice move by the Devils.
Yeah, incredible milestone. For him to be able to do what he's done, I could talk about 10 minutes how unique he is as a player and what he's done. But I think he would have loved to do it at home. but now he got there and he can start looking, targeting 800 now. We're all extremely happy for him. And I think, yeah, like you said, classy move by New Jersey to do that, send him that, and I hope he gets a nice ceremony or a little video tonight or whatever they got prepared. God, he definitely deserves all the praise.
What the hell do you do with a net?
He frames it. Puts it in his trophy room.
He's got a million trophies and things. What does he do with a net?
I know he has he has an idea for all that memorabilia stuff and things that I think he yeah. There's a plan for that.
Do you have anything? Do you have much memorabilia at your house?
Yeah, I do actually. I got quite a few things set up in my basement. Some of the the best memories from throughout my career, jerseys, pucks, pictures of different things that you always have in your house, and you can. You walk by it, see it every day, reminds you of special memories and moments. I really like having that, and I think a lot of players feel the same way. And so, some guys save jerseys, some guys save sticks, and all kinds of different stuff. But everybody's got their own thing and what's important to them. But I think most guys have something in that regard.
All right, so Lars, tell me about Winnipeg. You guys have a kind of a weird back-to-back with them, a home-and-home, starting tonight here. I'm just looking at their record. They're 32-27-5. They've lost a couple straight. What do they have? What are their weapons?
Yeah, we haven't – is the only team we haven't faced this year? Maybe them in Minnesota. So I think the last couple of years, every time we played against them, it's been very intense games for being a team we don't see on a regular basis. A team that can play a heavy game and a fast game too, even though I think they had some quite a bigger overturn on their defensive side this year. But gotta take him seriously. I'd like to see us come out with the same passion and energy that we had in the Pittsburgh game, and I think that's gonna be the key for us no matter who we play. So I really like to see us bring that tonight from the start. But the Winnipeg's a great challenge. I think they're chasing a playoff spot too.
Yeah.
They're gonna be in that desperate mode too.
Yeah. All right, we'll get that win tonight, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, man. Lars Eller, presented by AAA, driven by AAA. Go to AAA.com and hit the road with confidence. Hopefully the Caps get another home
Winnipeg's
win tonight.
Leading points scorer is Mark Scheifele.
You asked him to name like their top guys, and he didn't even name a guy. He just said that they're a
top team. He probably
doesn't know
much about them.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Patrick Laine is a stud for them. He's a young
Laine?
Yeah.
All right, Patrick Laine. Kyle Connor. All right, they're your top three.
Leads them in goals with 30.
All right, so let's just get a win tonight.
You'd like to see them going, who would you guess is in goal?
So they got Holpe. They're at home tonight. Then they have to play Thursday again in Winnipeg. It's decent amount of travel.
I might play Samsonov tonight and then Holpe on the road.
I think they want to get Holpe going. It's just my vibe.
I think Holpe's played in five of the last six.
He has, yes.
Maybe it's time for a Holpe rest. Maybe it's Sammy tonight and then Holpe again in Winnipeg.
Okay.
Though how would I know? It's a coin flip. It's a guess.
How many days have they been off?
They played on
Sunday.
Sunday at noon.
Yeah, just one day off.
Had a day off.
Today's only Tuesday.
I think it's going to be Holtby.
I think it's Sammy here, Holtby back in Canada. But again, I'm always wrong. Just fade me.
All right, if you want to chime in or anything, phone number is always 800-636-1067. You can always tweet us at Junks Radio. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.